All right. Thank you very much. Now, it used to be being in khakis, are you? This is like, this is different. I've known some of you. He's not wearing his jeans today. You know? Well, these happen to be Duluth fire hose pants. Anybody ever order from Duluth? Yeah, there you go. These are those fire hose pants, you know? Guaranteed. If you can slide down a barbed wire fence and never rip a stitch. I'm not going to test it, but that's what. Yeah, I know you want to see that, don't you? Yeah, yeah. And with Ed's sense of humor, I think he'd like that. Happy Father's Day. Somebody gave me a card. Who gave me this card? Anybody fess up? You did. Did you give me his card? Thank you. Thank you. There you go. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Happy Father's Day. Oh, there's my truck on the front. There's my new truck on the front with a winch on it. Well, it's not a winch, but I could call it that. Thank you. And a good father, I want to read you. A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets of our society. And Billy Graham said that. And you've got that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Peace, love, and joy. Full life fellowship. Thanks. And just how many dads we got in here today? A bunch of you? Most everybody? Yeah? 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 Dads everywhere? God bless you. I won't try to embarrass you. I've had dads tell me, don't get up here and do us like you do the girls. Okay, I won't. You know, but aren't we weird? And I'm going to tell you, this is how weird we are. Okay, no. It's like, Tony, speak for yourself. How weird are you, Tony? Thank you. Thank you, Joni. On the mark, you know those I-10, what do you call them? The big, you know, that flash and all the lettering change. It's got you reading that, so you're wrecking on the 10, you know, watching letters change, the words change. But this morning, it was buckle up, drive right, and then things that just, guys, we just kind of go, Anyway, you can tell it's from somebody from Austin, okay? So that's clear. Because it said, drive right, do this, do that, love dad. And it's like, don't say love dad. Say, go get him, dad. You know, something like that. Punch him, dad. Hit him, dad. Smoke him, dad. But it's something about with guys, you know. And it's like, how wussy is that? Love dad. You know, and I know some of you are saying, what's wrong with that? You're not, this is not a guy thing. We just walk up and say, hey, love dad. You know, it's okay if my kid says that once, you know. But guys won't guy things said to them. So anyway, I saw that love dad up there, and I thought, we're getting worse and worse in this country. Just sinking down, really. I mean, we're just. So here's the title. There's only 2 points to this message. The title of it is the Foundation of Quality People. And by the way, I hope that all of you will pardon my being slightly put out earlier. It won't interfere with the message, but I don't like the feeling of having to walk out in my own yard and being cautioned to go out at night, you know, if you do, being armed and all that. It's like, where are we at anymore? So, sorry, but I have to live there, and it's personal. And I worry about others that live up there, you know, goodness sakes. And so anyway, so just pardon me, I do show my feelings. I don't try to be unhuman, but I want to show you quality people. And the foundation of quality people, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. I'm just going to show you 2 things today. I had other notes, but I wanted to condense it, felt the need to just character and honor. And I want to show you character. And if you've been here a while, you've heard me read this passage. It's not one I work over much. It's over in 2 Samuel, so you won't hear this one many times. There's something that just, I know what it is. It draws me to this passage. And let's read this out of the New Living, and then we'll discuss it. But this is probably one of the toughest things that any man or woman can endure. And as a guy in particular, I just don't know if I could take this. I pray I can. In God's grace and help, we can. And you say, what is it? David is king. And his son, his own son Absalom, has rebelled. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 16. So it'll probably have it up here. It'll have it up here anyway. But David's own son Absalom has rebelled and is trying to take the kingdom away from his own dad. Now, it just doesn't get much lower than that. And I just ask questions all the time, but it helps us just kind of get the stress off. But has anybody ever been around or maybe had a personal experience with a child that just went, they just seemed like they were out to get you as a parent, and it just blew you away and you just didn't understand this? Has anybody ever had that happen? Okay. Thank you. And you've been around people and seen it happen to them. This is not new, because way, way back here, not far from the beginning, we have the king, a man after God's own heart, and his son Absalom just hates him, and he's going after him, and he wants the kingdom, which God didn't give him. And so we'll break into this, and they've been having quite a battle, all this stuff going on. And David's going along, and as King David came to Bahurim, a man came out of the village cursing them. And it was Shimei, son of Gera, from the same clan as Saul's family. Now, here's the king of Israel, and look at this. This guy threw stones at the king, and the king's officers and all the mighty warriors who surrounded him. You got to really have a very minuscule little pea brain to do this kind of thing, and you've got to be filled with a deadly, poisonous anger. So he threw rocks at David and all of his officers. And he said, "Get out of here, you murderer, you scoundrel," he shouted at David. "The Lord is paying you back for all the bloodshed in Saul's clan. You stole his throne, and now the Lord has given it to your son Absalom. At last you will taste some of your own medicine, for you're a murderer." That's pretty tough. "And why should this dead dog curse my lord the king?" Abishai, son of Zeruiah, demanded. "Let me go over and cut off his head." How many of you at that point might not have been saying, "Help yourself. Don't let me stop you." But look at this now. And this is, we're going to build on this. And this is important for us to take a hard look at, because this is character. "No," the king said, "no. Who asked your opinion, you sons of Zeruiah? If the Lord had told him to curse me, who are you to stop him?" Now, he said, if the Lord's told him to do this, who are you to go do something about it? It just astounds me. And David said to Abishai and all his servants, "My son is trying to kill me. Doesn't this relative of Saul have even more reason to do so? So leave him alone, let him curse, for the Lord has told him to do it." Now, that's a stretch there, but okay, if you think so, and perhaps the Lord will see that I'm being wronged. Now, there's your character coming out. "Perhaps the Lord will see that I'm being wronged and will bless me because of these curses today." So David and his men continued down the road, and Shimei kept pace with them. You may not have this last verse. I'm just going to go ahead and read it to you so you know. I cut it off at 12. But anyway, they went down the road, and this guy is so mean and angry and vicious that he kept cursing and throwing stones at them, and they're trying to leave the guy, and he just won't quit. Now listen, have you ever been in that situation where no matter what you tried to do, the other person or persons just wouldn't stop? You ever tried to get out of some kind of argument and they just keep after you? And you're just thinking, "Don't follow me. Get away from me. Leave me alone." And they just won't quit. So this guy here is so filled with wicked anger, hatred. He's accusing David of things that he didn't do. And David turns around. But here's where David's coming from. He says, "Look, you can see the hurt in the man." He said, "My own son. My own son's trying to get me. So why should not a relative of Saul feel like he feels?" Now, he accused David of stealing Saul's throne. David didn't do that. That happened with Saul and Jonathan all on their own. David didn't steal his throne. Do you know what was happening to David at the time? Saul had been persecuting David and had him hiding in caves in the hills. He was trying to kill David, hated David completely. David had nothing to do. David's on the run, you know. And so Saul gets his son Jonathan, who was David's very best friend in all the world. Both killed. David had nothing to do with that, but this is Saul's relative, and it's amazing. You know, on TV last night, I wouldn't watch it. I watched it once. I don't want to watch it anymore. They were running the series on the Western Channel, The Hatfields and McCoys. And that is, for me, been in some rough things in my life and with rough people, but that is it's unreal. Have anybody seen that series? Yeah, that to me, I watched it once, but it's just a really vicious, vicious thing. It's real. They always talk about the feud between the Hatfields and McCoys. That series does bring it out pretty clearly, and they do a good job of it. And yet, it is a vicious, bloody. Those people fought for how long? Anybody remember? For a long time, 100 years, close. And they finally reached kind of a peace. But during those days, if they could find one of those other families, they killed them. And it's like people. Well, right here is the same thing. Here's a guy who is so caught up in his family and, you know, the blood war, the blood thing, and he's accusing David of stealing Saul's throne, which David had nothing to do with. So here's the thing. Friends, David shows the character and says, don't kill him. My own son's rebelling against me, so why shouldn't this guy cuss me if he wants to? And maybe God will bless me because of it. I want to tell you something. My first reaction every time I've read this story is, I don't know if I could have took it. I don't know if I could have taken it. Nobody wants a cussing, but I don't like to be falsely accused either. Do you? I mean, none of us do, but does any of it just really go up your spine when somebody accuses you of something you had nothing to do with? You didn't say it, you didn't do it, but they're adamantly saying, and then the guy's throwing rocks at you. And you're already down in the dumps because your own son is out here trying to kill you. And then here's this guy where'd this guy come from? You know, he's just a relative of Saul, and he's so full of hate. And let's be honest, you know, we don't use these words in church, or do here, but not other places. But this guy is stupid. You see, anger and rage can make you really dumb. And he's out here saying this to the king of Israel, and David's got these guys just like this officer here. It would have meant nothing to that officer to walk up and kill that guy, just nothing. And David restrains him. You know what David is showing here? He's showing the character of a godly man, and if he had been female, it's the same thing, a godly woman. He's showing the strength of a godly person. He's showing the character that God wants in all of us. He doesn't want us to be manipulated by other people's opinions, words, accusations. And friends, listen to me. We're in that time in our society. You're going to see Christians, you and me, hammered more and more and more. It's out there. And the whole system, the devil has raised up an ungodly couple of generations, and they're out to run us down. And we're going to have to be able to fight this thing in spiritual warfare and don't stoop to what the enemy wants you to stoop to. Don't lower yourself. And in this case, you know, the whole thing, listen, what the guy, whether he was thinking clearly about it or not, but let's say the devil using him here, was trying to do was, here's Absalom already after David, right? His own son. Now, David's got these committed followers. But you see what would have happened if David would have given in to this guy, started cursing him back, and sent one of his officers over to kill him? It puts doubt. You see, in a leadership position, you got to be the leader. And you have to set some kind of example. And what he was doing was saying, if I stoop to this, if I just let my right-hand man here, you know, just take that guy out, I'm showing that maybe there's some flaw in me that deserves Absalom taking my throne. You see, we've got to think ahead, and you've got to think deeper and further than the enemy. And say, wait a minute. If I stoop to this behavior, I only add credibility to my son, who's my enemy. And this guy, I'll only be adding credibility to his lies that I stole the throne of Saul because I'm acting no better than this guy up here throwing rocks. You with me? That's what the devil tries to constantly do to God's people. He wants us to act just like them. Well, we lose credibility, and I know we all mess up in this, but think about it. We're God's leaders. We're God's models. We're who Jesus Christ uses as his representatives to this world. And there are people that are going to curse us, and they're going to throw some kind of stones where it's physical or emotional or something else, accusations, all this stuff. They're going to cast stones, and he doesn't want us to overreact. Think about it a minute. And in other words, when it comes down to it, we're going to have to take a stand like David and remember who you are in Christ. You're his child. You're his warrior. You're his son. You're his daughter. And there, you know, and the devil wants us to get caught up in the moment, in the emotion of the moment, give into it, and lower ourselves. And this is a huge challenge to me. It just bothers me. That's why once in a while I'll bring something from this passage, but it's like, because it hits us hard. But why? Because this what happens here is struggles with godly character versus our humanity, doesn't it? That wouldn't the human you want to just haul off and at least hit him upside the head with a rock? Just pick up one of his own rocks and let him have it back? You got to remember something here. This guy can really throw a rock. Remember? See, here's the idiocy of this thing. This guy's throwing rocks at a king who not that long ago had stood with a little slingshot and zipped a giant down with a stone, and you're throwing rocks at this guy? And if I'd have been David, I would have been really tempted to just pull one of those little leather thongs out and say, you want to whip another one at me? Yeah? Wouldn't that have been fun? That's our flesh. That's the human part. I'd like to see David looking around. That guy's wondering, what's he doing? And they pick up a nice, smooth stone, and then all of a sudden everybody's going, oh, we remember what happened with that. You just start kind of tossing it around in your hand. Yeah? And look at that dude up on that hill, and you're kind of measuring your angle. That's humanity. See, that's intimidation. You know, but what is that also? You see, and you say, Tony, that's you, isn't it? I mean, that's that. Yeah. Yeah. You can see me just doing it. That's just my nature. And then God challenges that nature and says, what's the godly thing to do here? What is that? Let me handle it. But oh, wouldn't you see? We get a smile and laugh at that, don't we? Because we're thinking, oh, yeah, wouldn't that have been cool? Flip that little stone around, fit it in that little pouch, and just kind of, you know, remember Goliath? Shorty? Well, let's see how this is going to wind up, you know. And missed yet. And so, but he didn't do any of that. But just think. See, we missed the depth of this stuff. You got to put the whole thing, the whole scripture together. Here's the guy that did that. And this guy is so filled with hate and rage, he's forgetting this is the finest rock thrower in the country. What are you doing slinging stones at him? I mean, you're going to go down in an instant doing that kind of thing. And yet, look at this. Let me share this with you. You want to know what powerful is? Powerful is knowing that you can do something and then willing yourself not to do it. Powerful is knowing I can take somebody down but choosing not to do it. Powerful is knowing that I can cuss better than the other person, get madder than the other person, I can tell them off better than they told me off, but then realizing I'm going to let God handle this and choose not to do it. That's power. That is power, and that's the discipline of the Lord, and that's the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. You think about that. It's knowing you could do it and choosing not to because it glorifies God not to do it. But you know you could. There's power in that. Tremendous power. I made a little note. This guy's criticizing David, and I just made a little note here. I just wanted to share. I kind of started this little thing. But it's the truth. And when you cut through this, I mean, he's criticizing David on every front. And David didn't do anything, and then this just jumps out. It's not a brilliant thing, but yet it's practical. I just jotted this down. If you can't stop criticism, live above it. If you can't stop it, live above it. And the Lord just, you know, it's just kind of like in my heart, make note of this, Tony. If you can't stop criticism, which we seldom can, live above it. Don't take it on. Don't try to prove people wrong. Live above it. Live a life that others are going to look at and say, man, you said they were one. Look at their life. No. It turns on the other person. Live above it. If you can't stop it, then live above it. And that's what he's doing here. Let me give you these few notes. We'll go to the second point and get you on out of here on Father's Day so you can beat all the other fathers to lunch wherever they're going. And listen. David saw this as something that God allowed for greater good. You with me? He saw it as something that God allowed for a greater good. We don't do that with all the criticisms that come in our lives, with all the accusations, with all the rumors and the gossip and blah, blah, blah. He did. And he said, God, you know, he said, God will bless me because of, perhaps God will bless me because of these curses today. He said, God will. And he knew. And God will bless you because of the curses and the attacks and the slander and all the things the devil uses people and circumstances to throw at you. David showed the quality of God's character within himself. You see, people are looking at us and they want to see if what we say we are matches up with what we do. Now, David is a man after God's own heart. Absalom is accusing him of being a weak and unfit king, and God is lending him. So see, David's right. God let this happen. I don't know the surrounding circumstances. None of us do right at this moment. But for some reason, it's obvious that at least some of David's men needed to see David bigger than himself. And people need to see us bigger than ourselves. What does that mean? They need to see Christ in us, our hope of glory, and they need to see, as 1 John says, greater is Jesus than us than he that's in the world. And there are times that we need to come out of ourselves and be bigger than we've ever been. And I'm telling you, we're in that day and time. We've always been in it in one form or another, but we're in it now. And he showed that he was not willing to respond to pettiness. Listen to me. Listen. The higher your calling, the less you need to be responding to petty things. And your calling is high. We're children of the living God. And what does it say in Romans? You know, he's not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry what? Abba, Father. Father, dear Father. And it says, if we are his children, then we're heirs. We're co-heirs with Jesus. That's Romans 8. So we have a high position. And I have a high position. I've got to bring this word. And you're looking at me. And you're saying, Tony, we don't want you stooping to pettiness. Everybody here knows petty things are said and done. You're fully aware that you can't pastor, teach, or just be a Christian without petty things being said about you and done and rumors. I've had so many rumors You know, I don't know. I've just lost count. It's like just like streams flowing everywhere. Rumor, this and that. And it's like, oh my gosh, I've been accused of about everything imaginable. And it's like you want to stoop to it. And I used to, when I was younger, I would defend myself. Once in a while now, I might depend on the situation, but mostly, that's why God brings us back, to remind me too, to say, Tony, don't stoop to pettiness. Live above it. If you can't stop the criticism, just go on. Live above it. That's all you can do. Don't fight it. Because the more you try to defend yourself and you're being obsessive gossip about you, the worse you look. And so he just refused to stoop to pettiness. I'm going to tell you something else. And you think about this real hard. David refused to kill a man over words. And friends, we need to let that soak in. There's too many people that are willing to kill over words. And I don't mean physically take a life. They kill people with the words they send back. More people are murdered by words than they ever will be by bullets. Some of you struggle today in your adult life because somebody murdered you or left you mangled as a child or somewhere in your life with the ugly things that was said. And you can't get over it. Still in your head. Goes around and around and around. Ricocheting in there all the time. Cycling around. And listen, he refused to kill a man over words, and so should we. It's just not worth it. He refused to be offended. He chose to be a man of God. And look at this, that God is allowing this for a reason. He would not stoop to the level of his enemies, and he believed in a greater purpose. You've got to realize, like he did, and that's why this is in here, of the many things to learn. David knew that God knows what's happening, and God will bring justice. He conducted himself as a man after God's own heart because that's what God said he was, and he lived up to it. That's what we all are. And he said, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And what did Jesus say? The greatest of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second like it is, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what he wants us to go forth and do. And not stoop to this pettiness. Don't give in to all this stuff. By the way, we're going to move on. You read the rest of the story later. David refused to stoop. He didn't do anything dishonoring. But later, you know what happened? Some of those guys came back and they killed that guy. He spoke his own death sentence. Let me tell you what happened. And I've seen this happen. I've given you stories about it, but it's true. And Pat and I have seen it many times from way back. When God says, don't touch my anointed, God means don't touch my anointed. Because this guy cursed David. He brought a curse on himself and he ended up being killed. Not there, but later on it came to him. You see, friends, because it doesn't happen when we want it to, we think God's not doing anything, but vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, and I will repay. You stay above this stuff. You keep your godly character and don't let anybody take it away from you. And you just live above it and God will take care of it. And this guy ended up in a bad way. It didn't end up nice for him. So let me close with this. That's character, and I want to close with honor. In the book of Daniel, I have two total different books. So this is kind of a, it's just these two qualities we got to have. This is important. This is godly stuff that it's missing. King Nebuchadnezzar was convinced by a bunch of his guys. It's a great story, the gold statue and all that. To build a statue, a golden statue, and everybody has to bow to it. But there was three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've made little children's stories out of these. That's great, but it's not meant as a children's story. It's meant as adult teaching. And everybody in the land, whenever all the stuff, you know, all the pipes and the harps and the blah, 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 the musical instruments blew, everybody's supposed to bow down to this thing. The reason that all this was done was because some other religious, so-called religious people were jealous of these Jewish people who were godly people. So it all happens, and they're reported for not bowing down, and we'll break into that in verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or bow or worship the gold statue I've set up?" Friends, hear me. That question ought to be ringing in your ears right now, because already, you call it what you want, but already we're being presented with gold statues and other false gods to bow down to. We have a society that's presenting us with many options that are contrary to the character and will of God. They're all around us. It's here. And it's time to decide, you know, what we're going to do. So he said, "You refuse to do it? I'll give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I've made when you hear the sound of the instruments." And he said, "But if you refuse, I'm going to throw you in the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue from my power?" You hear this arrogance? What God can rescue from my power? Does this sound familiar? This kind of talk is already out there. My power, our deal. You know, really? Really? Your power? Your authority? God. And so he says, if you refuse, I'll throw you into it. No, and what God and Shadrach and Meshach, Abednego, you know, all these guys. They're cute people, aren't they? Aren't you glad your mother didn't name you that? You know, you'd be Shadrach in here. I could be Meshach. And somebody could be Abednego. Anyway, they replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you." This is strong stuff. We don't need to defend ourselves before you. Look at this. See this? We're not going to make a defense before you. Even though you're the king of this land, we serve a bigger king. The king of all the universe, heavens and earth. So he says, "If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us, and he'll rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up." Is everybody's mind made up about this? The government right now is going to try to force you to do some things, and they're going to try to tell you what to eat, where to sleep, how to dress, and how much you make. And you're going to have to decide beforehand that you're not going to bow down and worship these gods. God will bless you for it. I'm serious. We're at that place, and this is not an attack to government. And it sounds like it, doesn't it? I'm saying the devil is the one behind this, and he's manipulating this, and it's like, you got to have a card, got to show proof of this. And I appreciate what's happening here in this state, and the governor's saying, no, you don't have to have an ID card. That's a bunch of garbage, because that leads to another ID card and another ID card. Then I got to have a passport to go around the state. No, no, no. This is not the Soviet Union, and it's not China, and I don't want to be. It's not anything. This is where God's people still worship, and we're going to have to fight for every bit of it. Everybody with me? So here's where it is, and we're going to have to be like these guys. If you throw us in the fire, our God delivers us, and if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. So you know the rest of the story. They threw them in there, and it didn't work out so well for the bad guys. And these boys got elevated to a high place. But what do we learn from this? Well, we want to close with what we learn. Shadrach, and old Meshach, and Abednego, you know what they chose? They chose the honor of God over the honor of the king. They chose God's honor over the king's honor. They did not know what would happen. But now you know what they did know? They didn't know what would happen, but they did know that God would happen. And everybody here needs to remember that. No, I don't know what's going to happen, and you don't, but I can tell you what is going to happen. God's going to happen. You honor him, and God will happen. However God wants to happen, but he'll happen. And that's what they knew, and they held on to it. You know, we don't know what will happen when we go in that thing. But we know God will happen. one way or another, God will happen. They were convinced in their hearts that if they honored God, God would honor them. That's what he says he'll do. They didn't, this is tough, it's hard for me even, they did not love their own lives more than they loved their God. What did Jesus say? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So that's right in there, and this is Old Testament, yet Jesus just reiterated it, brought it forward. People say, oh, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. They've lost their minds. The Old Testament leads us right in the New Testament, and you just see all this. See, Jesus just repeated all this and put it in his frame, and there it is. It meant the fire, but the fire meant a miracle, and the miracle meant deliverance. Sometimes, friends, you got to go through the fire to see God at work. You better remember it. Every one of us have to go through the fire sometimes in our lives to see the Lord at work. We just get so carried away with things. And let me say this in this honor, and we're closing, I promise. With character and honor. I guess I ought to get over here, but it's not really a soapbox thing. I have people from, you know, I see people from all walks of life and everything. But I want to tell you something. They got these young guys coming in, and they're working out on jobs, most, you know, really good blue collar jobs and stuff, and if you want to call it that, they're manual labor jobs, but they're making good money. But they come into these HR places, and you know what they're complaining about? Well, those older guys out there, they're talking mean to me. I'm serious. And filing on people. And it's like, you know, you can't, of course, you know, they can't tell me a whole lot, but they just, in general, you know, what are these guys saying? And, oh, this worker, this guy doing this or whatever, and he told him this or called him this, and they come in and report it. And I'll get off here. I want to say something to you. You know, I have a lot of these people, and we know businesses and companies, so I'm going to step out here on the limb and let's get this over with. Companies are being required, or they're choosing to go to sensitivity training. What they need to go to is a little rear-end smacking training. You're going to do sensitivity training and teach me how to talk nice to this poor little kid? Why don't you bring your britches up yourself and quit wearing panties and put on some cotton underwear and get out here and be a man and grow up? Friends, we're sissifying this whole place. Sensitivity training, we got plenty of that. We need some people to be able to stand up in their own boots, on their own feet, on their own legs, and take a stand for Jesus Christ instead of, they hurt my feelings. Wimps. My God, it's time to grow up. It's time to start being women and start being men before this whole thing just collapses. People saying, what's wrong with this country? You know what's wrong with this country? We're turning it into a country of little wimps. They're crying all the time, complaining all the time, entitled all the time. And so some old guy that's been doing this job 40 years turns around and says, look, son, you don't swing a hammer like that. You take that thing and rear back and hit it. What are you, a sissy? And they run to HR. He called me a sissy. See, I'd get fired, because if I was up there on HR, I'd say, you are. Now shut up and get to work or quit. I don't want to hear it. You say, Tony, that's ugly. Yeah. I look in our military. If we don't quit sissifying these kids, the whole thing's going to get destroyed. I'll tell anybody right now. Do you know what the word soldier means? It means soldier. It means you put on a uniform and you train to get the other guy before he gets you. And you better be tough-minded, you better be tough-hearted, and you better be tough in your body, in your spirit, in your will. And you go out there to do him what he is trying to do to you and before he does it. This sounds ugly, but that's exactly the way it is. And instead, we've got this washed down, you know, hug them, warm fuzzy sensitivity training. A lot of universities, you can't get into them anymore, especially guys, unless you go through sensitivity training to learn how to be a girl. It's true. Understand all the... And I sure wouldn't have gotten an education if it was that way, because I'm not going through it. And friends, I know this sounds rough, but I look at these people in the Bible, and I look at King David, and I look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you see any sissies here? And I look at my dad, and a lot of you folks, you know, and the people fought in World War II, World War I. Dad was in World War II, Battle of the Bulge, over there. There wasn't any wimping. I look at those young guys dying by the thousands, but they didn't back up. I look at Normandy and D-Day, which we just passed. They hit that beach under fire, and they went down, and they kept going towards that wall. And they won. They won because they weren't sissies, because they weren't entitled. And they won because they knew that they never, ever wanted those people that were had taken over Europe to take over the United States of America, and now we have them in elected office. But friends, they took those beaches and they did what they did, and they jumped all those airplanes and they fired those missiles, you know, and their artillery pieces and all that. Why did they do it? Because they believed in something better and bigger, and they're not going to come here and do it. And friends, I'm not trying to make I know it's a bunch of stuff combined here, but they were Davids, and they were Shadrachs, and they were Meshachs, and Abednego. And there were men and women in Vietnam, and I'm telling you right now, in Korea, and places like that, and they fought. Might not, didn't know, sometimes you don't know what the heck you're fighting for, but you're fighting. And when if you're over there and stuck in it, you do your best, and you don't go wimping to somebody. There's nobody to go to. And so what I'm trying to tell you is this: as Christians, we are honor bound to put God first, and God's not a sissy. He uses Paul to write in Ephesians, put on the full armor of God. That's combat armor. That was combat armor of the day, the belt of truth. Hold up everything, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, shield of faith, feet shod. Well, with those combat boots with the gospel of peace. And in your hand, what does he say? A sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Man, we're spiritual warriors. This is what this is all about. And these people went through these fiery furnaces. Didn't even get to the part where they stopped the mouths of lions. And then David takes insults from a little guy on a hill because he's bigger than that. And his God is so much bigger than that. And he knows that God has got this. And he's got you, and he's got us all. And so, friends, take these two things on this day and let them ride with you. And when somebody's trying to trigger something in you, and when somebody's messing with you, think back to this and think character. Think honor. Thank God. Thank God for the Davids and the Shadrachs and all these people who could stand there and take it and walk into fiery furnaces and say, we don't care. We don't care. We don't care. Because our God is bigger than this. And oh king, he's bigger than you. And oh president, he's bigger than you. And he's bigger than all of this. And he has got this. And God will bring us through. It's true. Character and honor. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of it. We thank you for the people that you use in Scripture to teach us. Thank you, Father, that they were willing to go through these kinds of things so we can stand here and learn that if God brought them through it, he'll bring us through it. And I'm asking you to deliver us from our adversaries. I'm asking you, God, to turn the hearts of your people back to you, back to Jesus Christ, and turn the hearts of people who've never even thought about it to Jesus Christ. I'm asking you for salvation and a great revival, salvation of this country, salvation of Israel. I'm asking you to bring your people back to Christ and the Word of God, and to fill our hearts to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, with the power of your Word, with the power of godly character and godly honor. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.